Remember a time without antibiotics, superbugs, vaccines, and drug dependency? Well, we do too, and we're here to remind you that you're more powerful than you think. God said herbs are here for the service of man. Tap into them and free yourself from drug dependency, disease management, and overwhelming medical costs. Take control and be independently healthy. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength formulas to stand in the gap and strengthen your system where you need help. Herbs for blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, osteoporosis, and more. Call toll-free 866-229-3663. Online, thepowerherbs.com. Check out their vitamin vault where you can stock up and save on case discounts. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. With our current economy, there's no time to lose. Apothecary Herbs has their own version of the stimulus package. It includes sending you highly potent and certified organic herbal products at a 15% discount. Here's how it works. Mail in your order using our catalog order form, online downloadable order form, or if shopping on our website at thepowerherbs.com, print off the contents of your shopping cart, subtract 15%, add your shipping fee, and mail it in with your payment. Get well and save money. What could be better than that? Order by mail now and save 15%. Call Apothecary Herbs for a free product catalog toll-free, 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Whitey Wilson. I hope you had a great day. Oh, we got a great show. We're going to be talking about bacteria. I know, one of your favorite things. But we're going to avoid the problem bacteria. How's that? Also, we're going to be talking about some foods that can help us relieve anxiety, because people are way too anxious out there. I don't know about you. Have you gotten some calls this week at work or at home? People are really weird. Anyways. Not you, of course. You guys are great. But, people are just, getting all uptight. So we're going to talk about that. And we have a crack report coming up. But before, I want to remind you, Thursday, John Monroe is going to be our guest with Dr. Banker's Group out in Colorado. He just got back from a big trip to New York City where he had a big conference and a seminar and taught over 30 people, I think, how to improve their vision the natural way. So he's going to be with us on Thursday. And we're going to give you an update of how I'm doing using his vision kit to improve vision. I talked to him today, so we're a go for Thursday. So I hope you can join us then. And, of course, those of you out there using the phone bridge, you can do that. If you can't use the Internet, just dial 218-862-7200. So if you have relatives and folks out there that don't do Internet, can't get the station and the show any other way, they can phone in on the phone bridge, 218-862-7200. And, of course, the PIN number it'll ask you for is 361113, 361113. And, of course, if that all fails, there's always the archives. You know, AVR and Apothecary Herbs will have the archives there for you. So backup plan. All right, but big salute and Semper Fi to our military, praying for them always, and asking God's hand of protection on our military and all of America. We need a righteous leader to bring this nation back, because it's just getting way too insane out there. We need God's help. We got to seek his face, hit our knees, seek his face. You know, fasting and prayer is very effective, so I hope you all join me in that. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Hey, GMOs are in the news. I know my engineer loves Monsanto. That's being facetious. He hates Monsanto, but it's in the news. They get some genetically modified organisms, but it includes some new varieties. Yeah, specially engineered ones. Aren't we lucky? They're called stacked trait GMOs. Have you heard about these? This means that they contain multiple genetic modifications that have built-in resistant traits. Ooh. So a new study was published in the Journal of the Applied Toxicology, and it found that these new multi-trait GMO strains exponentially are more harmful to you and me than just the single-trait GMOs, because they have more synergistic toxicity. Well, of course they do. That's right. The researchers from the University of Caen in France have found that the Cry1AB protein and the BT toxin deliberately produce, they're deliberately put into GM crops. Monsanto's MON810 crop and BT corn, and they say these stacked GMOs destroy human cells at a level of 100 parts per million when it's diluted in water, all by themselves. So the real kicker is that, you know, you combine that with the Roundup, and the researchers say, according to their study, the damage is tremendous to the human cells. Wow. God's hand of protection for sure, right, folks? What else we got in the quacker? Vaccines are in the news. Vaccine right attorney Patricia Finn, have you heard about her? She's out of New York, 9th Judicial District, New York State, has threatened to strip her of her license for practicing law, has even threatened to file some criminal charges against her. Actually, Finn is one of the vaccine attorneys across the nation that fights for the rights of parents to assert their rights of protection for their children from the deadly vaccines, and she's considered a hero by many. But she's an enemy of the status quo, of course, and she's actually, in her documents, they say that she's threatening the public interest. You know, this is interesting, because those that are pro-vaccine, those people that push the vaccines, claim that their vaccines are absolute, total immunity against infectious diseases, but an unvaccinated child can't possibly be a threat to those that have been vaccinated, right? I mean, come on. The New York District Court, more alarmingly, has demanded that she turn over her complete list of clients, which, you know, goes against, you know, attorney-client privilege. That is definitely against state law of New York. So I don't know. It's kind of weird. Is there some grandstanding here or what? I don't know. But we're going to have to put this on our prayer list. We really are, because we don't want this morphing into, you know, them dispatching social workers to pick up the kids from these parents on these lists, and God knows what happens to them, right? So we gotta have God's hand of protection on those kids. Moving along, speaking of vaccines, mainstream is admitting vaccines cause cancer in pets. That's right. Vaccinating your cat, for instance, with a typical feline vaccination schedule, they say, could cause your cat to develop cancer. It's a recent article published in the Ledger. Carrie Miller, Central Florida board-certified vet, an oncologist, she admits that vaccines can cause inflammation, which can cause the pet to develop cancer a couple of years down the road. So Miller's report highlights that 1 out of 10,000 cats will get a vaccine-associated sarcoma. Some of them call them fatty tumors, you know. Oh, it's just a breed. They'll get those. That's what you'll hear. Whatever the mandatory vaccines are, rabies or a host of other viral bacterial vaccines commonly administered to cats and dogs, you know, do your homework, folks. Do your homework. If you've listened to Dr. Rebecca Carley and the vaccine guest that she has on, Dr. Patricia Jordan, you know they were spot on. Vaccines for pets cause cancer for pets. Shortens your pet's life by 5 years. Let's see, she did have a report, and also the American Veterinarian Medical Association developed, get this, a vaccine-associated feline sarcoma task force back in 1996. And the only thing that this task force came up with is, you know, don't stop vaccinating. No, no. Put the vaccines in different spots on the cat's body so that if a tumor does develop, it could be easily surgically removed, chemotherapy, or irradiated. And if you've been to a vet's office lately, and a lot of times, you know, depending on the code of the county they're in, they have to have these little diagrams of the office where the exits and stuff are. And if you ever look at those diagrams, you see that there's a radiation lab in there. Yeah, just like a hospital. According to Dr. Don Hamilton, a veterinary homeopath, down in New Mexico, he said the vaccines are largely useless because they cause more disease than they cure or prevent. He says the vaccines simply do not offer really any protection, and they typically weaken your pet's immune system. This is true. This is so true. I hope you all are listening out there and protect your little furry family and friends. What else we got? Well, you know, if the swine flu and the bird flu weren't enough, hey, we got a new one. It's called the bat flu. Too bad we don't have a Batman clip. You know? I mean, it's just crazy. Come on. Scientists have found a new influenza virus strain that infects bats. That's right. When they asked if there's any implication of the discovery of human health, you know, is there human health at risk, Dr. Ruben Donis, he's a researcher, he said it's too early to tell. Well, of course, they're not done tinkering with this thing yet in the lab. And he says, we still don't know if this bat flu can infect people, according to Donis, who is chief of molecular virology and vaccines at your CDC. Now, his team, of American doctors and Guatemalan researchers, isolated the virus from fruit-eating little yellow-shouldered bats that come from Guatemala. Took that little virus home in the lab and were able to replicate that influenza in the lab. Birds naturally are hosts for a slew of viruses, influenza A, which this is, but other animals can also be infected, like pigs and horses, whales, seals. Of course, now they want humans, according to what we're seeing. Flu viruses that cause pandemics generally emerge from infected animal populations. See what they're doing? So the researchers were able to grow this virus in their lab, but they couldn't find the components in the flu virus that could be mixed and matched for human flu virus strains. So what are they doing? That's what they were doing, trying to make one. I'm irritated. Thank you, Frank. I mean, it's that crazy. Come on. It's nuts. Oh, last but not least, thank you, Frank. You made me smile. 10 symptoms if you're vitamin D deficient. Yes, you can lower your immune system and come at risk for all kinds of diseases. There's this new study that was conducted at the University of Zurich, and it confirmed that sufficient amounts of vitamin D, if you take it consistently, can help maintain good bone health and boost your immune system and stave off disease. According to Dr. Heike Abiskas-Fayar, University of Zurich, he says that adequate levels of vitamin D through the diet alone kind of can be a little challenging. You might have to eat a couple of servings of salmon and mackerel you know, every day, along with some sun exposure to get enough vitamin D in the system, according to them. He says vitamin D works in cooperation with other vitamins like your magnesium, and you'll find a lot of that in your green leafy vegetables like your spinach. And it's unique. Vitamin D has a management system of its own, helps you fend off chronic disease. So if you don't have enough vitamin D, you're going to be more susceptible to the flu, according to a study published at the Cambridge Journals. It'll predispose kids, especially to respiratory disease. Also, if you don't have enough D, you might have muscle weakness, according to Dr. Michael Hollick. He is a leading vitamin D expert. He says you'll have very weak muscles from low vitamin D. You might get psoriasis. Also, a study published by the UK PubMed. Chronic kidney disease can also be a complication of low vitamin D, as well as diabetes. So if you get enough vitamin D, you can reduce your risk by 80% of getting type 1 diabetes. Asthma is another one. Reduce the severity of asthma attacks when you get enough sunshine and vitamin D foods. Also, periodontal disease, where you got swelling and bleeding and irritated raw gums, get some vitamin D. Also, cardiovascular disease and congestive heart failure also seems to be linked to vitamin D deficiency, according to a research conducted at Harvard University. And two more things, schizophrenia and depression. Also, you'll be susceptible to those things without your vitamin D, and cancer, according to researchers at Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington, D.C. So, folks, get that sunshine. I mean, the summer, spring's right here, right around the corner. Of course, you know, February is still the biggest flu month, so you want to protect yourself. Get some vitamin D, mackerel, herring, sardines, tuna, castor oil if you have to have some, and, of course, that wonderful sunshine. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank, for that Batman clip. Man, it's been a long time since I heard the Batman thing, you know? Robin, dynamic duo. Okay, we're going to be talking about the life cycle of bacteria. Specifically, we're going to hit on bacteria that affects the digestive system from the lips all the way down, you know? We're going to talk about that. And it's important that we know about these things. Because, you know, actually, I didn't come up with this myself. A radio show listener of Herb Talk Live asked me to do a show on the bacteria that can actually cause a lot of digestive problems. So we're going to hit on this. Now, scientists really don't know how many different kinds of bacteria exist on planet Earth. However, they estimate between 10 million and 1 billion. Now, we may never know how many bacteria exist, since sequencing a bacterial genome actually costs $500,000 and takes several months to complete. So to get around that and to estimate the species of bacteria, scientists do surveys by taking samples of different habitats. So bacteria, you know, can be pretty hardy and can live in just about anywhere in a variety of environments, the soil, the water, the atmosphere, and inside humans. So it's estimated that there is about 20,000 species of bacteria, 20,000 species in just 1 liter of ocean water. And soil samples back in the 1960s, they were told produced about 16,000 species of bacteria. But since then, science has determined that there are about 1 million dominant and then low abundance bacteria species in about 1 gram of soil. So bacteria is kind of like dust mites. You can't see it with the naked eye, but they're nearly everywhere. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about being the bacteria farm, because, you know, we can probably, you know, harvest a lot of bacteria. So finding bacteria on surfaces and in soil and water is one thing, but finding them inside ourselves, well, that's kind of yucky. But we got to go there. You know, as a teenager, you know, you're growing up through the puberty stage, you really don't think about how unsanitary kissing is. Although science isn't certain how many bacteria live inside our mouths, they estimate The number of bacteria can be between 500 to 650 different species. Now, right now, every one of us has bacteria hanging out on our tongue, on our teeth, our gums, and the mucosa lining in the oral cavity. And Dr. Walter Liesch from the University of Michigan has pretty much his own mathematical way of establishing the number of oral bacteria. This is kind of neat. Yeah, his research involved harvesting tooth plaque and weighing it. You know, who would have thought? You know, we're going to scrape off this plaque and then we're going to weigh it. But anyway, he's weighing it, and the average is 10 milligrams per mouth, in case you were wanting to know. The average person has about 10 milligrams of plaque in their mouth. Mm-hmm. So they weighed that, and then they multiplied that amount that they got by 20, and that, they say, it covers the entire biomass of the mouth. Okay, and once you get that figure, for every 1 milligram of oral biomass, it's going to contain, he says, about 100 million microbes. Wow. And then you multiply the 100 million microbes by 20 to get the actual number per mouth, which is 20 billion. Whoa. So we can confidently say that kissing is quite germy. So how long does it take to cultivate 20 billion bacteria? Well, some species can double their numbers in just 20 minutes. So, with that said, we swallow billions and billions of microbes as they reproduce in our mouths. And according to Dr. Liosh, the 20 million microbes in our mouth are reproducing every 5 hours. So if you don't brush your teeth today, the 20 billion become 100 billion. So how many bacteria do you suppose is exchanged during a kiss? You know, I don't even want to think about it. I just don't. And aren't you glad I didn't bring this up during Valentine's Day? Okay, let's talk about the oral hygiene for a sec. Because oral hygiene is kind of important, yes, yes, and we spend millions on products, especially mouthwash, you know. Let's not talk about the toothpaste, the mints, the chewing gum. Let's just, you know, focus for the moment on mouthwash. Now, you know, I wanted to find out if mouthwash is all it's cracked up to be in preventing the oral bacteria, because, you know, that's what we're told, kills the bacteria that causes bad breath. Well, let's check it out. There was this study a few years ago where professors of dentistry at the Manishi Mal Dental College and Hospital in Chennai, India, they wanted to find out if the good old American advertising was pretty accurate when it came to the brand name mouthwash products. So they wanted to see if what American advertisers were saying about their products was true. So the study compared bacteria and the survival rate of gum tissue, which was exposed to American mouthwash products. So they wanted to see how the bacteria survived and how the oral health of the mouth was affected when we use these types of products. Now, none of the American manufacturers of mouthwash put iodine in their products, which, you know, is kind of a very old-fashioned form of mouthwash. But none of it's in there. So what were the doctor's findings? Well, Listerine, they said, stopped the growth not of bacteria but of fibroblasts, which are responsible for creating new healthy gum tissue. Now, Listerine is one of the world's most popular mouthwash. Yeah, by far it outsells them all. Okay, so why does Listerine do that? Why does it kill the healthy gum tissue? Well, Listerine was not originally designed to be a mouthwash. It was designed as a detergent for cleaning operating rooms. Did you know that? Yeah. I bet you didn't know that an English physician, Joseph Lister, was knighted for preventing the spread of post-surgical infections by mixing water, eucalyptus, and some other herbs into this antiseptic that now bears his name. So Dr. Lister, he sold the mixture and the rights to his name in the 1880s. And then doctors the world over scrubbed their hands with Listerine before surgery, and then the cleaning staff used it after the surgery. So, and just 110 years ago, Listerine was being advertised to be added to your mop water to remove grease and grime without stripping away the floor wax. And needless to say, Listerine has a very long history of use, lots of uses, before it was recommended for bad breath. Yeah, you need only you only actually need about 7% alcohol to kill some bacteria that produce bad breath. And you know what? Listerine is 50 proof. So it kills some of the bacteria causing bad breath, but it also kills the tissue which keeps your teeth in place. That's not good. So the other strains of bacteria that are left are untouched. And as the mouth becomes drier with alcohol use from the mouthwash, the bacteria can grow unchecked. So other brands, let's look at the other brands like Scope. They have less alcohol, but they have a chemical dyes, the blue 5 and yellow 1, which cause a lot of allergies and ADD. Oral-B mouthwash has chlorhexidine. It's a chemical which the scientists found kills the fibroblasts. Again, the things that cause your healthy gum tissue to grow. And also kills off your taste buds and your saliva glands. Ooh, that's not good. So let's look at Colgate. Colgate contains a triclosan chemical, and it's designed to deodorize sewage. And when you use it in your mouth, it releases a diotoxin chemical, which is pretty much a potent nerve gas, nerve agent kind of thing. And the scientists were speculating that those that use Colgate mouthwash could most likely develop things like ED, erectile dysfunction, and especially for any men of Asian variety because they seem to be more susceptible to the dioxin chemical. And the mouthwash products actually contain triclosan, which is banned in the UK, because of concern that that chemical creates antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And according to the researchers, if you mix triclosan with your tap water, you've actually released some chloroform gas. Didn't know that. Did you? So is there anything else we can do? I mean, you know, we can't now use the mouthwash because that's kind of creepy and scary. Yeah, there are some alternatives to that. The dental researchers actually found that you can accomplish better results and protect your oral cavity from toxic chemicals by rinsing your mouth with green tea, because green tea absorbs the bad breath gases for about 2 hours. Got to take a break. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down to you, shining on my heart, so you could see the truth. Then this love I have inside, everything it seems, but
life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Do you remember a time without antibiotics, superbugs, vaccines, and drug dependency? Well, we do too, and we're here to remind you that you're more powerful than you think. God said herbs are here for the service of man. Tap into them and free yourself from drug dependency, disease management, and overwhelming medical costs. Take control and be independently healthy. Call Apothecary Herbs for professional strength formulas to stand in the gap and strengthen your system where you need help. Herbs for blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, osteoporosis, and more. Call toll-free 866-229-3663. Online, thepowerherbs.com. Check out their vitamin vault where you can stock up and save on case discounts. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're talking about bacteria, and we're talking about mouthwash and oral hygiene and how we can, you know, cut down on those bacteria that create, you know, a little bad breath. And the researchers there had discovered in India that, you know, if you just use some green tea, you're going to get a lot of antioxidants going there, absorbs the bad breath gases, and will protect your your breath for 2 hours, and then after that, just drink a little bit more green tea is what they're saying. They also recommend drinking more water to keep the mouth moist, because the drier the oral cavity is, the more destructive bacteria will grow and also damage tissue and create more bad breath. So keep the food particles also to a minimum. Floss, use a water pick, brush your teeth, brush your tongue. And you know what? If you do that, you have 75% of the bad breath under control. There you go. And some hydrogen peroxide, you can use that sparingly. There you go. Easy. Okay, what else we got? Cloves. Oh, forgot. Cloves is excellent. Little, you know, whole clove in the mouth. Excellent at, you know, just making your breath smell so great. It's what they put in smoker's gum. So covers tobacco and smoke, so you can use that as a breath freshener, little whole cloves. Okay, we're going to move down now the digestive tract, and we're going to cover some of the digestive tract bacteria, some of the bacteria in the stomach and the intestines that we can encounter, and some of this stuff can cause problems for the tissue of the digestive system. So one bacterium is pylori. It can cause about 75% of the ulcers. You've heard about this. There's about 850,000 new digestive ulcer cases each year, sends people to the hospital. So pylori infections are common in the United States, and this bacteria likes to thrive in an acidic environment, but it can adapt to most environments of the stomach by producing a special protein to neutralize those acids. So if not corrected, the pylori bacteria can cause not only discomfort, but also can risk you to two forms of stomach cancer down the road. Now, once the pylori bacteria has neutralized your stomach acids, it has the time that it needs to travel to a safe area known as the mucosal lining of your stomach wall. And once it's there, the body's immune system no longer has direct access to the bacteria. So the pylori now has a host, you, and it will feed and grow inside the stomach lining. So the bacteria will weaken the mucosa coating of the stomach, will weaken that coating, and it will also weaken the coating of the duodenum. And this allows stomach acids to penetrate the lining, and now both sides, both the acids and the bacteria, are attacking that lining. So symptoms are going to be pain, gastritis, which is inflammation, and some fast-forming ulcers. Now, more women than men in the United States will develop ulcers, but the trend is reversed in Canada for some reason. Now, an ulcer can also produce bloody or black stools, bloody vomit, or vomit that kind of looks like coffee grounds. Now, you'll have a real problem if the ulcer burrows through the stomach to the duodenal wall, and there will be bleeding, and the acid will break the blood vessels. It's a mess. So there's also the risk of obstruction when the ulcer blocks any food trying to leave the stomach, and you may have fatigue, weakness, dizziness, headaches, loss of consciousness, and also could be associated with pylori causing ulcers. So any of this can be caused, all those symptoms, because you got an ulcer. Well, let's look at this saboteur called pylori, because this bacteria is nasty. So how does the saboteur create all this havoc? Well, the bacteria produces a poison to increase the secretion of water and electrolytes inside the stomach, and that causes the death of a lot of the stomach lining cells. This eventually allows the bacteria to invade more stomach cells and to take over the stomach environment. And unless this is corrected, the process will continue and more digestive tissue will be damaged, creating more ulcers. So the pylori bacterium releases substances into the host cells, changes the cell of the stomach lining. This results in altering the digestive process and you not being able to absorb as many calories and nutrients. And two factors are going to agitate this condition, a poor diet and stress. And by the way, April seems to be the stress awareness month. You're probably going to see a lot of advertising for that. Well, what does the doctors do? What does the allopathic medicine, what do they do for this? Well, they'll do blood and fecal matter tests for bacteria. They may put you on a three-week course of antibiotic therapy that's prescribed in an attempt to remove the pylori bacteria. Anti-inflammatory and acid suppressor drugs will also be prescribed. And depending on the severity of the condition, you could be taking up to 20 pills a day with what medicine calls a triple therapy. And it could take longer than 3 weeks to obtain relief. So females usually are going to get a yeast infection because of the antibiotic use. And the long-term prognosis is you have to keep getting this checked because there's a risk of getting gastric cancer, which is the second most common cancer worldwide. Nearly 1 in 5 people will develop ulcers, and 1 in 2 will develop stomach cancer. And why is that? Well, because people really don't change their lifestyles. So how do you get this bacteria, pylori bacteria? How do you get it? Well, how do you get pylori in the first place? Well, sharing eating utensils with someone who has the bacteria is going to give you pylori, and it is an orally transmitted bacterium. So you can also come in contact with infected fecal or oral matter through eating infected food or drinking infected water, and therefore many people will pick this stuff up while they're traveling. There also seems to be mounting evidence that there's an increased risk of developing cancerous stomach ulcers, not so much from pylori, but after receiving the polio and Gardasil vaccines. So we want to watch that correlation. And what else? Well, there are plenty of natural therapies and herbs that can be applied to the digestive bacteria. So health problems respond when we make some healthy lifestyle corrections. So remove the white flour, the refined sugar, and all the milk from the diet. I mean, no milk, no butter, no cheese, no yogurt, no ice cream, none of that. This will stop the acid pumps from producing so much acid. The body will produce more acid when you consume alkalizing-type foods, which also feed yeast and bacteria and trap toxins inside the body. So you want to eat more wholesome and fresh foods, live enzyme foods instead. Now, for ulcers, you can also apply these herbs, bayberry, chickweed, slippery elm, and mullein. These will soothe the mucosa lining of the stomach. You can also add these herbs to tinctures, these herbal tinctures that I just mentioned, to chamomile and hops tea. Now, I know this is going to kind of sound kind of radical, but if you want to stop bleeding ulcers, I would personally use 1 teaspoon of cayenne pepper mixed in water or tomato juice and drink that 3 times a day. Now, you can work your way up to the full teaspoon dose by starting with 1/8 of a teaspoon and then take that 3 times a day. But this is going to stop bleeding in a skinny minute. Now, I like to add garlic also because it's got that antibacterial property. And also for inflammation, I'll use willow bark and meadowsweet. So I'll layer a few of these herbs. And once you've got that under control, then you want to cleanse the bowel. And after you've cleansed the bowel, it's time to clean up the diet also and you know, keep that diet good and healthy. And when you got that all worked out, you can proceed to cleansing the rest of the system, the urinary tract, the kidneys, the bladder, the prostate, a liver, gallbladder, and the blood system. So you can accomplish actually all of that in a relatively short time span. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They provide the organ cleansing and the soothing herbs as well as the cayenne, garlic, and anti-inflammatory herbs. So you want to look for the male or female organ cleanse package, their pain or extra strength pain formula, which is the anti-inflammatory, their slippery elm, marshmallow root, very soothing, the mullein, the garlic juice, the cayenne, which is their circulation formula. And you can go to their website and check it all out at thepowerherbs.com. Or you can give them a call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., dial 803-746-0219, 803-746-0219. And if you need more energy to help you reduce your stress, you want to look at that Body Foundation food mix they have and their valerian root. So you can call Apothecary Herbs. Get your free product catalog, because that's where your healthcare options just became endless. The 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com or toll-free number 866-229-3663. Now, if you're able to go to the website, don't forget to sign up for the free online HealthQuest newsletter. And lots of great information you'll get in that at least twice a month. And there'll be lots of great, kind of common sense user tips in there. And also periodically you'll also get a discount coupons to use on the powerherbs.com website for your products. So actually right now through the 3rd, HealthQuest subscribers have gotten discount coupons for 15% off. So with a key that they can plug into the shopping cart or mention when they phone in an order. So do sign up for that. It's free. And all you need is an email address to get it. So do that. As I mentioned, don't forget, for those tuning in late, coming up Thursday, going to be speaking with John Monroe from Dr. Banker's Group. On our homepage on the powerherbs.com website is the link to John Monroe and Dr. Banker's website, so you can click on over there. John just got back from New York, did a seminar on vision health and how we can naturally improve macular degeneration, nearsightedness, farsightedness, and he's going to be my guest this Thursday, coming up. I can't believe February's about gone, but the 1st of March, John will be with us, so do tune in this Thursday night, and we're going to talk with John then. If you missed the interview, the archives will have the show, and of course I will be interviewing John on Saturday morning on GCN at 7 a.m. Eastern. So anyways, tune in for that. And we're going to move on to some of the foods that will help us reduce anxiety, because people are really kind of cranked up a bit too tight these days. They need to loosen up. A little relaxation goes a long way to improving your health, even your bone health. You know, if you've been to the chiropractor lately, they'll tell you stress is a real killer. You just get your bones all out of alignment. So let's talk about some foods that we can utilize to relieve some anxiety, because I hear a lot about people being anxious lately. They're concerned about their future, rightly so. However, we can be concerned, but we don't have to worry. You don't have to be so anxious, because that's not going to help us. Feeling anxious or stress is a natural response, but we can minimize the downside to those things. So we want to be healthy, we want to have some healthy experiences out there, and we don't want to create stress which can trigger an illness, can trigger other feelings, even fear, apprehension, more uncertainty, and it's a snowball effect. And so it actually can neutralize our productivity, and we don't need that right now. We need to be alert. We need to be sharp. We need to be vigilant. So we're going to look at this. There's way too many people stressed out and anxious and feeling, they have a feeling of hopelessness, you know, and you should never feel that. God is on his throne. You should never feel that desperate. Mm-mm. So we're going to look at some simple ways of implementing and maybe in some steps and stages to empower each and every one of you to relieve this feeling of anxiety and whatever that's bothering you. And these are going to be some simple options, and you can stay focused. So I want to go over some stats real quick. About 40 million adult Americans are struggling with anxiety, which is the most common disorder. It outnumbers depression. Yeah, it outnumbers the cases of depression. So this is like the 18th percent of our population is anxious. That's way too high. So according to the AMA, 4 million people will receive a treatment, and out of that, 400,000 will receive proper treatment. So the majority aren't going to get proper treatment for their anxiety. They're just not. There also appears like 3.6 million people basically going to experience malpractice from a licensed medical physician when they go seeking help for anxiety. So anxiety seems to affect more women than men, and females suffer from more anxiety and stress twice the rate that men do. And anxiety seems to be the number one mental health issue for even our senior citizens. So we can't forget the elderly, okay? All this anxiety actually is costing the economy almost $50 billion a year and accounts for about 88% of lost productivity at the workplace. So we're not living up to our potential when we give in to anxiety. We are going to be stronger than that. That's right. Okay, so let's look at anxiety, because it has a couple of little telltale signs. There's several different forms of anxiety which come. They have some names and some character traits. Let's go over them a little quickly. Panic disorder, or PD, is described when a person has this sudden acute attack of, you know, terror come over them, which can bring on sensations of heart attack or heart palpitations, even mental instability. And this form of anxiety affects about 6 million people. That's 2.7% of the population. And compared to men, women are twice as likely to have a panic attack, and there is a high risk of also suffering from major depression with that. So this panic issue, this anxiety issue, can lead you down the road to full-blown depression. We don't want that to happen. What's another one? Well, obsessive-compulsive disorder is another one, is when a person is kind of tortured with recurring obsessive thoughts, and therefore they exhibit this repetitive compulsive behavior or ritual. You know, there was a TV show, detective show, Monk. He kind of had that going on. He'd walk down the street and he'd have to touch each of the, you know, parking meters, that kind of thing. He couldn't miss one. So it's an obsessive-compulsive disorder. And this is exaggerated anxiety or fear, that's what it is, which is manifesting in a bizarre and unnecessary behavior. So a good example is if someone spends an exorbitant amount of time shopping, let's say for groceries, and they have to shop in alphabetical order. And you know, and I know, that grocery stores, they're not set up alphabetically. So you can imagine the frenzy this person with OCD is going to be having, making sure they get everything into their shopping list and into their cart in the alphabetical order. And if it's out of order, typically you'd hear from this person, "I can't eat the food." If it's out of order, you know, kind of thing. If it can't eat the food. So this affects, this obsessive compulsive disorder affects 2.2 million people, about 1.0%. It equally affects both men and women the same. About one-third of the adults will experience their first obsessive-compulsive disorder episode when they're a child. And this is a form of anxiety that will cost the economy almost $3 billion a year. The next one is the general anxiety disorder. And it happens when someone has excessive and uncontrollable worry about everyday things like money, career, health, school. This disorder affects about 6.8 million, or a little over 3% of the population. And again, this affects women at twice the rate that men are affected. And those suffering from generalized anxiety disorder are more likely to have additional anxiety disorders and depression. So here we go. We're manifesting, we're layering on the emotional problems with this one. Then there's the post-traumatic stress disorder, and this can be a debilitating condition which often follows a very terrifying physical and emotional event. The individual will have persistent frightening thoughts or memories, flashbacks, if you will, of the ordeal, and the individual may feel emotionally numb. So the other names for it are PTDS, would be like shell shock or battle fatigue, because our military usually have post-traumatic stress disorder. Some major factors when you develop that, it's the severity of the situation, the duration of the event, and the persons involved. You know, was the person that was affected, were you close to them? So approximately 30% of the military personnel have post-traumatic stress disorder. And it affects, this type of anxiety affects about 7.7 million Americans. Okay, so then we have the modern medicine approach to all this stuff, which means, you know, prescription drugs. About 65% of Americans are on prescription drugs, and 43% of these drugs are mind-altering. For those folks, taking drugs is going to be a way of life. They can't not take it and not cope. So every year there's about 3.3 billion prescriptions that are dispensed in North America, along with 12, which is really basically 12 times the U.S. population. So that means every man, woman, and child has 12 prescription bottles sitting on their kitchen counter, because of that statistic. That's what it means. So the two most popular anti-anxiety drugs are your Paxil and your Zoloft. and that nets the drug companies about $7 billion each year. So let's look at some foods to avoid. Some of the foods that will inflame an anxiety condition, caffeine. It has a psychotropic action and can help improve mood in small doses, but the problem is people don't get it in small doses. They're drinking two caffeinated beverages at least a day, and that can bring on anxiety. Caffeine can overload and even mimic a psychiatric condition. So it can overload your nervous system and it can bring something like that on. So if you're prone to anxiety, you want to limit your caffeine, and if you suffer from anxiety, it may be the result from caffeine toxicity. So you can wean off the caffeine and see if the anxiety improves or it completely resolves itself. So how come this happens? Well, according to Dr. Thomas Udide of the National Institute of Mental Health, some people have brains that are more sensitive to caffeine, and to them, caffeine acts like a drug. So people with this kind of sensitivity may only be able to tolerate a half a cup of tea or coffee per week. Alcohol is also going to be a culprit. It triggers anxiety, even though people will drink it to relieve an anxious feeling. As the alcohol wears off, the minimal withdrawal effect will take place and can trigger panic attacks and anxieties because it affects the neurotransmitters in the brain. So you want to watch the caffeine and you want to watch the alcohol. Also, sweets is a very interesting thing because some studies have shown that people that suffer from anxiety can relieve it when they eat something sweet. So we normally comfort ourselves with foods because it triggers pleasure centers in our brain. So the old folklore remedy was to take a spoonful of honey before bed to relieve a lot of stress and anxiety. And recent research has proven that sugar or carbohydrates can calm the brain and can act like a sedative. And this works in most people. However, there are the very few that encounter the opposite effect. So there's a few tricks to using sugar to calm the brain. Sugar works faster than a carbohydrate. So sugary drinks with no caffeine work faster, like within 5 minutes. Carbohydrate foods will take up to an hour to work. So how much would you take? According to Judith Wortman, a researcher at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and Richard Wortman, a neurocraniologist, about 2 cups of cereal with no milk or added sugar or 9 ounces of a beverage should do the trick. You don't want to mix your protein with your carbs, so no milk or meat, and it will take longer for the fat foods to work, like candy or desserts. It would take them longer to work. Lollipops, sour balls, mints offer fast relief for long stress-filled periods, which you may experience on the job, for instance. So you may want to do the Kojak thing, have a lollipop handy. You know, just whatever works. Also, herbs work very well. I like to use valerian root to calm down the central nervous system, take the stress off, and a little bit of lobelia to take the tension out of muscles. So you can use both of those. They work on 2 different systems, so you can use those. If you're interested, you can check those out at thepowerherbs.com or call toll-free 866-229-3663. I'm out of time. This hour just poof, flew. I will see you Thursday night. Coverage calls up next with Pastor Mike Hoover, so stay where you are. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.